I open the church during the week so that people can come in. I put my sign out the front there, which says Historic Church Open for Inspection. A man came in and began to tell me his story. He told me that he couldn't speak properly because he had cancer of the jaw. Along in that conversation, and he was wondering whether that cancer that he had was a punishment from God. He said to me, at the age of 27, I enlisted in the Air Force and I went to the Vietnam War. And he said there was a day when I went up in a helicopter. He said there was an American beside me that gave me an order. He told me that there was a farmer down below. They could see the farmer in a field. And he said, I suppose his family had been there for generation after generation, and he was just doing what the family was doing, farming. He said, I got the order, and the order was to shoot him, because that man was out of bounds, what they regarded as being out of bounds. He shot the man. He returned to his base. The fellows at the base said, what have you done today? And he said, I shot a man. For some 50 years, that man had carried the guilt of what he regarded as murder. I was able to tell him about another time and another war. And I told him about a man called David, who was a murderer as well. And David sent a man to the front lines, and that man at the front lines died. That was Uriah, was Bathsheba's husband. He died because of David. But David knew the power of forgiveness. And I pointed the man to the Lord Jesus. Ultimately, David's forgiveness was founded in the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And he looked way, way forward and he said that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I simply pointed that man who thought he was being punished with cancer, who carried the guilt since his 20s of murder, I pointed him to the Lord Jesus. You know, there's one life in history that can make a difference to anyone in humanity, to any sinner. And that life is the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. When John writes about him, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word he was referring to was Jesus. When Paul wrote about Jesus in the book of Colossians, he said that Jesus was the creator of all. He said he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. The world tells us that we evolved. The Bible tells us that we have a creator and his name is the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus, the creator of this whole world, this whole universe, came to this world and walked upon the earth. The astronaut James Irwin, who travelled to the moon, said this, there's something more important than man walking on the moon. It is God walking on the earth. The Lord Jesus revealed the face of God to humanity. When people saw Jesus, people saw God. An unknown author wrote this in regards to the uniqueness of Jesus. He said his birth was contrary to the laws of life. His death was contrary to the laws of death. He had no cornfields or fisheries, but he could spread a table for 5,000. He walked on no beautiful carpets or velvet rugs, but he walked on the waters of the Sea of Galilee, and they supported him. 3 years he preached his gospel. He wrote no book, built no church, had no monetary backing. He is the central character of human history, the pivot around which the events of the ages revolve, and the only regenerator of the human race. Philip Brooks, a preacher, said this, I am far within the mark when I say that all the armies that ever marched, and all the navies that were ever built, and all the parliaments that ever sat, And all the kings that ever reigned put together have not affected the life of man upon the earth as powerfully as has that one solitary life, the life of Christ. There's one life that stands out from all humanity. There's one death that stands out from all humanity. If you look at all the other religions in the world, their religious leaders are still in the grave. But only one religious leader ever came back from the grave, and his name is the Lord Jesus. He experienced the death of all humanity, and he conquered death. Hebrews 10 verse 9 says that Jesus, talks about Jesus, that he tasted death for every man. 1 John 4, 14 says, "And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as the Saviour of the world." 2,000 years ago, when Jesus came to this world, he came to show the face of God. He came to reveal the words of God, but he came to be the sacrifice of God in giving himself as a substitutionary sacrifice for the sins of the entire world. There's one sacrifice that stands out from all humanity. And this time, this resurrection day, we remember the sacrifice and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Jesus paid the price for you and I. He shed his blood. Hebrews 9:12 says, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." Hebrews 10:12 says, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." The Lord Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of the whole of the Jewish sacrificial system. And when he came, John 1:29 said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." One life, one sacrifice, one resurrection. Momentous news of the resurrection of Christ has gone out into all the world. I wonder if you can remember July the 2nd, 2007. There was momentous news. Momentous news came out of Newcastle. What was it? The Sydney Morning Herald announces, "Free at last. Pasha Bolka, free at last," the Herald writes. "The bulk carrier Pasha Bolka has been pulled free from Newcastle's Nobby's Beach. The 40,000-ton coal carrier was guided to deeper water by three tugs at about 21:37, that's 9:37 Australian Eastern Time today. It was momentous news for Nobby's Beach. It was momentous news for Newcastle. It was momentous news for Australia, and it even made over the internet momentous news for the world. Pasha Bolka was finally free. A lifeless ship was pulled from its watery grave. 2,000 years ago, momentous news was given to the friends of Jesus, mentioned in Matthew chapter 28 verse 6. The momentous news was, "He is not here, he is risen." It was momentous news to the followers of Jesus. It became momentous news to the Roman world. It became momentous news even to our world today that an unknown carpenter had risen from the grave. A great victory. A great victory, with no help from his followers, the victory was over sin and death. No one expected him to defeat death. No one at that time expected a resurrection. But that first resurrection Sunday, the disciples' despair turned into jubilation because Jesus Christ was alive. Paul writes about the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, "For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Are you in that verse? Do you know that Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures? Do you know that you have no hope of heaven unless you acknowledge that Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures? Paul goes on and he says, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by 12, and that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also as by one born out of due time. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ was infallible proof to the followers of Jesus that Jesus Christ was indeed God's Son, that Jesus Christ indeed paid for our sins, and he was raised for our justification. Jesus Christ defeated death on our behalf. Paul writes, "So death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." One resurrection. One hope. Thomas Jefferson was the third president of the United States, and Jefferson decided to edit his own Bible. You can purchase it. I don't recommend that you purchase it, but you can purchase it online even today. It's called the Thomas Jefferson Bible. And Jefferson's Bible, Jefferson believed that Jesus was an extraordinary person. He believed that he was a great moral teacher. But what Jefferson did was he removed all the miracles from the Bible. And so the Jefferson Bible ends with these words. "Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There they laid Jesus, and rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre, and departed." That's a Bible with no hope. There's no resurrection in Jefferson's Bible. There's no coming out of the grave in Jefferson's Bible. There's no hope for the disciples in Jefferson's Bible. There's no hope for us in Jefferson's Bible. That is a Bible with no hope. But we do have a hope. Go to the Old Testament. Even in the Old Testament, as was read this morning, Isaiah 53, but go to Job. And Job shows us that even Job had resurrection hope. "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me. I know my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand on the latter days upon the earth." The resurrection of Jesus Christ is one of the most encouraging messages for the world, because it's a message which contains the resurrection of Jesus, but the hope of resurrection for every single person that trusts Jesus as Saviour. March the 27th, just a couple of weeks ago, 2017. Momentous news. For Newcastle. Momentous news for Nobby's Beach. Momentous news for Australia. What was the momentous news? Does anyone know here this morning? Only a couple of weeks ago. What was it? Well, the headlines, nbnnews.com.au, Pasha Bulka returns to Newcastle Harbour as Drake. The Pasha Bulka returned to the city of her disaster. Once again, she sailed past, this time didn't get caught on the reef, but she sails past Nobby's Beach. She's got a new look and a new name. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is momentous news for every believer. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we will have a new look, a new body beyond the grave, and a new name, the Bible states in Revelation 2, verse 17. In a moment, Paul writes, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. One hope that we have, the hope of resurrection for each of us. A new name, a new body, a second coming even for us. We are going to return with the Lord Jesus. When Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, he said, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. The Paschabolka returns to the place of disaster. We are going to return one day where sin afflicted this earth. But we are going to return with the Lord Jesus in the brightness of his coming, where he's going to finally put down sin. Paul said, absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. You know, the sad thing today on this Resurrection Sunday, the cafes are full in Derby Street. They're probably full over in Hamilton. They're probably full in Sydney. And people are happy without the resurrection of Jesus. They are happy maybe for 50 or 70 years or even 80 years plus, but they have no hope without the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. The hymn writer wrote this, my debt he paid, my death he died, that I might live. One hope, one way. The Lord Jesus is the only way to the Father. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The book of Acts says, there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And that name is the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, we've got one message. We've got to tell the good news of the gospel to a lost world. We've got to tell them that Christ died for our sins, that he defeated death, he was raised again the third day, and he gives eternal life to all who trust in him. You can be a murderer and receive forgiveness because Christ has taken your sins upon the cross. You can be an adulterer and you can experience forgiveness because the Lord Jesus went to the cross for your sins. You can be the regular norm in Australian society, and the regular norm in Australian society needs to know that they need to acknowledge a Saviour who went to the cross and died for their sins. One way of forgiveness and one message that we have, and that is the good news of the gospel. When Paul wrote to the Romans, he said, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation is a gift from God. You cannot earn it. You just have to accept it. Jesus died for you. Jesus is raised for you. If you don't acknowledge Jesus as Saviour, as your personal Saviour, you are not going to experience eternal life in heaven. He came to give life and to give it abundantly. I wonder on this Resurrection Sunday, have you acknowledged one life, one death, one sacrifice, one resurrection, one hope, one way, and one message to a lost world. And that message is, He is risen.
Thank you.
amazing love, that my God should die for me. We have resurrection hope because our God came, lived on this land for 33 years, went to the cross to take all our sins, and rose again 3 days later. Is Jesus Christ your Saviour? If you're not sure, I'd be glad to talk to you after and just show you that you can have a sure and certain hope of a home in heaven.